Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Racing Ties Live with my special guest, actor, comedian, Danny Green. We also have Latrice Gaddison on tonight and Mandel Newton. So hang on with me, I had a few little technical difficulties, but joining me on Racing Ties Live. Tonight I have special guest actor, comedian Danny Green. He's on with us tonight. And he was just on, yes, that does deserve a round of applause. He was just on Real Husbands of Hollywood with Kevin Hart a few weeks ago. I also have entrepreneur Latrice Gaddison. She's on with us tonight, and she's going to be talking with us about supporting our own black businesses, as well as radio personality Mandel Newton. So we're going to get this show started. I want to just make sure that I have all my guests on with me. So just give me 1 second to make sure my guests are on with me, and we're going to come right back and get this thing started.
Through the rest of the weekend, we're finally on our way. Baby, now it's time to celebrate.
celebrate, baby. Yeah, you gotta live it up.
Thank you all so much for joining me tonight. I did have a few little technical difficulties, but nothing is going to stop the show, okay? So I think we are all on the air. I'm so happy that you all joined me tonight. My special guest tonight is Dannon Green, actor, comedian Dannon Green. Dannon, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Dannon, how you doing?
I'm good. What's happening?
Hey, I'm so glad you joined me tonight. Tonight I have some other people with us as well. I have entrepreneur Latrice Gaddison of Visionaire Academy. Hey, Latrice, how you doing?
I am blessed. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Latrice. And last but definitely not least, I have radio personality, voiceover talent, DeLeon. Hey, DeLeon, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm great. What's up, Danny? What's up, Latrice?
Oh, good, brother.
All right.
You know, I'm so glad you guys joined me tonight. It's all about support. When I was talking to Dannon about this show, you know, Dannon was on my Don't Be Salty show a couple of weeks ago, and then when we were talking about like another topic, Dannon said, "You know what? What's going on in the inner cities, and are we supporting our own black businesses?" So, and I know that's so important for everything that, you know, we're all doing. Dannon is in the entertainment field. Latrice, you're a businesswoman yourself. And Mandel, you know, you're an online radio personality. So, matter of fact, you know, let's define what black businesses we're talking about. Are we talking about every black business out there, large and small, or are we talking about mom and pops, or just, you know, our friends and family? What would you guys consider, you know, the black businesses that we should be supporting?
I think it would be anyone. I mean, anybody that has a business. Unfortunately, I think over the last 15 years, we don't have a lot of small mom and pop stores, the beer, the liquor stores, the candy stores, mm-hmm. the supermarkets. But, you know, I think it's to the point now where we need to support as many dollars as we can, whether it's online or offline, you know, mm-hmm. or in a good store. And we're just not doing it. We got a lot going on. We're really falling behind again.
Right, right. And Dannon, I wanted to ask you, what prompted that topic to pop in your head? Because this is something that Dannon wanted to discuss. So, like, what was it? Do you see, you know, are you, like, literally seeing people not supporting each other, or you see people begging for support, or what was it that made that come to mind?
I think it's a combination right now with, I think, how some of the entertainment businesses,
mm-hmm.
And also the fact that what's going on right now, you know, we got Trump in the White House, everybody's, you know, mad with any black person that goes to that situation, but at the same time, we're not going to each other. You know what I mean? So
right.
I think a lot of that prompt to let me just say, you know, what about that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and how do you guys feel about Latrice and Mandel? You know, are you getting support for the things that you're doing? And, you know, what would you say about it?
I'll let Latrice go first.
With me, I get support at times, but it's sad because in the black community, you have a lot of jealousy and a lot of with other business owners. I do small business. I don't do, you know, big mm-hmm. business as of yet. But you get a lot of people that aren't equipped to actually do business. You know, they mm-hmm. run it with a homeboy policy instead of a true business policy. So it's hard to support, you know, other black business owners.
You said they run a homeboy policy? What do you mean by that?
Yes, they run a homeboy policy. No rules, no regulations, you know, an IOU mm-hmm. or, you know, let me borrow, let me have, instead of, you know, running it like a real business or, you know, customer service is a negative. It's not a, you know, a plus or a priority in the business. So it's hard to communicate with them with, you know, time limits or, you know, making sure tasks are done or they're actually, you know, following up with you on stuff.
Right, right.
You know, And what she said makes a lot of sense, and it's one of those things where you can kind of look at it from both sides, right? A lot of times when you do have, like, a black business and, you know, you have someone that's, that is, you know, trying to be about the right thing, that, you know, they are organized, they are a certain way, and but then, like you said, with the homeboy policy, it's the other way around, where because you know somebody personally that has that business, they always looking for the discount and not supporting it in the sense where, hey, you know, let me go ahead and pay full price or let me buy up something and then promote your business at, you know, in the same sense too. So, you know, you kind of got both ways when you look at it because, you know, like you said, there is times where I don't work for people where they don't open up a restaurant or something and, you know you didn't have everything together. Like you got the beer license, but you don't have the liquor license, or you know, so you like, so somebody go in there, they order a beer, but they can't get a shot to go in, you know.
Okay, look. See, now Mandel trying to get me started early because I wasn't going to, you know, bring that up until a little bit later. But, you know, what I was going to say is, I'll just tell y'all right now, okay, I do want to support our black businesses, our own black businesses. But do you guys know how much money I have floating around out there that I have not been paid for projects that I worked on? And sadly, it's because of, you know, is who I dealt with. I was trying to support and help our own black, you know, friends and,
mm-hmm.
and associates. But I got burned in the process. I mean, I have, mm-hmm. like, you know. And the thing about it, you know, paperwork is in effect. Paperwork was there, whatever. But, you know, it's I still have money floating around out there, you know. What do you guys say about that? I mean, are we – okay, we're supposed to support each other, but are we holding up our end of the bargain and, you know, being professional, dependable, reliable? You know, what do you guys say about that?
I think that's one of the big problems that we have is that our professionalism is not really – I mean, hell, go to any nationality business and you have situations uh-huh. where people are not professional. But for us, we know – we already know we're being looked at. We already know
mm-hmm.
if black
yeah.
people are going to support it, we need to have top-quality service or we're going to be the first one to start complaining. So, I mean, we just – And so when you go into a business, you should have everything together. And if you have a complaint, or not even a complaint, just give good
mm-hmm.
customer service. And I've been places where it hasn't been, and I hate to be knocking it, but when you have those type of problems, and then if management or people, whatever, doesn't come out and sell it the right way for you, you know, we're very quick and good to be like, I ain't coming back here again. You know what I mean? And,
right, yeah. And, you know,
uh-huh.
it's sad that it has to be like that. And not saying that every black business is like that. We know that that's not the case. But it seems like it's like a double whammy when it is a black business because, you know, you're looking so forward to supporting them. And then when you feel like you're let down, it's just like, oh, man, that's just like, you know, disheartening or whatever.
You know, it's one of those things like, with sometimes you gotta look at the service that they're providing, though, right? And if it's good work, if it's shoddy work, if it's like you say with the customer service, if it's something where, you know, if you got good, like I kind of deal with that too every day because I'm kind of in the customer service field in the sense I work for like a phone company and
mm-hmm.
and in the quality department. So one of the things it's something that I hear all the time in the sense where, you know you know what good customer service sound like because you call in and somebody able to take care of your issue right away as to,
mm-hmm.
you know what it's like when somebody just kind of, you know, just talk to you any old kind of way, they ain't helpful.
Right.
You know, if you ask a question about their product or, you know, they act, you know, they can't explain it well, like this is your business. How you not know,
right.
you know, what's going
mm-hmm.
on with it or if I'm unsure about something, you need to be able to, you know, talk to me in a way where I understand. You know, it's all about how you position stuff. So, you know, if you go somewhere where people got an attitude and then, you know, they wouldn't, let's say, maybe they're not the owner of the business, but they work for that person. So even
mm-hmm.
that person that got somebody working their front counter got to have some type of standard or, you know, expectation of the people that they got working for them because they represent them. You know,
and
so,
I would say this here, like people don't realize, even in working in a Fortune 500 company, like you expect, you have certain expectations when you've worked for that company in the past, or, you know, if you have to call that, like you said, call that company or deal with somebody, if you want them to handle a situation, give you a refund or talk to you a certain kind of way. It's sad to say, but a lot of black businesses feel like you owe them something instead of them owing you a service. You know, they feel like you have to have it from them. No, a lot of people walk away from you because of your attitude.
Right.
It'll decrease your sales. It'll decrease your customers, whether it's online, in person, whether you're a mom and pop or a big business. And that's like one of the main priorities, customer service. A lot of, and it's sad to say, you know, black business owners, they don't feel like they have to have a certain amount of respect for every customer that walks in the door. Or they don't feel like they have to hire somebody to put in that position, because a lot of times you have your family, you have your friends, you know, you don't want to pay somebody. Everything is cut under the table instead of doing it the right way, bringing people in there that will make you to position yourself higher in business.
That's true. And you know what, and I understand, you know, a lot of times I think it's just the way that, you know, we are in general as blacks. Sometimes black people, we have, like, you know, somewhat of a rapport with other people, but sometimes you have to, like, kind of shut that down and cut that off when it comes to business and just have that professionalism come first. Because I'll tell you what happened to me. I was interviewing for a job one time, and it was an insurance, and the person was interviewing me, and instead of, like, story scene, you know, tell me about yourself, or, you know, or whatever, tell me about your experience. First question that came out was, so Racine, you married, you got children? I'm like, what the heck? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, where the hell did that question come from? And I feel
he wanted
like
to know who he was hiring.
But no, I think he said because I'm black. You know, and you know, I felt like I was being interviewing for the dating show or something. Because then the next question was like, "Well, what do you like to do?" or something like that. And so I flipped it on real quick. I said, "I like to make money." So then, you know, that's when things got back on track or whatever. But I'm like, I don't think that would have happened if I wasn't black. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But do you guys
You made them feel comfortable.
Experience? No. I see you're going to make me start talking. Well, I got this show as PG, man. But do you experience, you know, have you all experienced this, you know, in your careers? Like, have you experienced this in the entertainment field? I know the entertainment is a little bit different, right, Dan? Because it's not.
Yeah, I mean in entertainment. Well, go ahead. Finish your turn.
No, I was just going to say, I was going to, you know, kind of drifting off into professionalism, but do you see or perceive your support that you get from friends and family or other blacks as far as, like, what you're doing, like, when you're doing shows, like, when you're doing live show or when you're on TV, what type of support do you get?
I get support. My thing is, even with how we act sometimes on shows, getting shows, you know, you get booked for to be a show, come a comedian for a show, being on time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Being professional in an appropriate way. For some reason, we just got. I mean, I don't even know how to go about it, because today, I don't know. I mean, this shit. People are buying whatever and anything they see. You know, in terms of how someone looks. So I guess being professional in that part, you can do what you want. But it's just about us really working together. I mean, and the bad thing about it, it's like a recording.
Right.
You would think years down the line that we would eventually understand that we have to be different towards each other in any kind of business to be successful. We just don't do it.
Right.
It's usually at a higher level where, oh, I know this person, and we're not giving opportunity to other people because we're just going to
hook
up with what we're comfortable with.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think we fall in that stigma that we look at, that other people look at us too. You know, if you want, like, if you got like a business, like, and let's just say, Citizen Bank, right? And so you ask how many people support that, how many people got bank accounts in there instead of PNC or Bank of America or something like that, right? And so are they going with a name, or how many people are aware that would be a business that, you know, a bank or a business that you should, because, you know, it's some of the things that's going on is not even being taught in your communities to where we're aware, right?
Right.
To where we're aware of, like, hey, about supporting people, or, you know, sometimes it's like a popularity thing or something.
But there comes a point, man, where, you know, you got to stop blaming on what you're not taught, and you just got to know what's right and what's wrong and how to act.
Right.
I mean, we can't keep using those excuses, and we just keep using them. It's just no excuse. You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Unnecessary excuses. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm on set, I'm there early. Even if I'm the star, but if I'm not the star, I'm not being the loudest person on set. I'm being, you know, I'm waiting till they call me to be on set, to do my scene, whatever, and go back. You know, we got to pull it together on all parts of our society right now, especially in the time we're living in, with all of this stuff going on, with the political game, the way it's going to be now. We got so much going on. I don't want to switch the subject, so hopefully this is not switching it, but just in terms of how we're acting right now towards ourselves with the Trump thing, our professionalism in terms of, well, you know, we shouldn't deal with them. And I'm saying to myself, when you do any kind of business, whether it's entertainment, education, whatever, you have to sometimes deal with people you don't want to deal with. And if we cut ourselves off, we are going to be left out. And that's
so true.
That we're doing.
You got to buck it up.
You know, I don't know. Like I said, I read social media all the time. You know, we're riding Steve right now. We're riding anybody that wants to do anything. And I'm saying to myself, for you to be in big business, you got to do business with people you may not want to do business with.
Exactly. Right. You know what? That is so true, Dan. I'm so glad you verbalized it like that. Because, and sad to say, you know, I'm not sure, you know, what your, you know, each of your feelings are about him meeting with Trump. But I did hear Steve talking the other day, you know, giving his reasoning for it. And, you know, quite honestly, it makes sense because, you know, someone said, okay, Donald Trump is going to be the president. We can't stop him from being the president. I mean, his own stupidity might stop him, but we cannot physically stop him from being the president. So what are we going to do? Just curl ourselves up in a ball and just pretend that he's not the president and not deal with him?
It's not
going to
work. We still got to respect the fact that he's there.
Right. I know Steve personally. I'm not saying biggest fan. I'm going to say I'm not a fan. What I'm saying is this. If this man were to call me to say, Dannon, you know, I want to speak with you, or say, we set up a meeting for me to speak with you, I'm going to go. Because I have to, like Steve said, we got to have so, you know, one reason, okay, and then we'll deal with what we're doing right now. In the 40s, 50s, 60s, in the segregation time, we had to rely on ourselves for big business because we weren't able to do it with anybody else but ourselves. And what happened is, when we became so successful as people, from education, all the historical black colleges, to businesses, all of the bomb-pop businesses, you know, Gary, Indiana, Iowa, the Midwest cities, where black people were thriving because we were dealing with each other, East Coast. We were doing business, and we act professional. Let me tell you what happened. Don't you think that the man saw how successful we were, and they said, okay, we got to find out how these people are being so rich. How are they getting being so rich? So what they did was they infiltrated. And how they infiltrated us, they desegregated. They desegregated and caused us not to take, to stop spending. The minute we felt we could spend our money somewhere else, bam, we was gone. So now what happened is after they saw how we were doing it, and then they said, well, fuck it, we can't beat them, let's just join them, we took our money other places. Well, it's the same thing with the Trump. If we don't
if we don't sit at that table and have people come in and speak to him, whether Trump disrespected Obama or whatever, then what they're going to do is say, well, you know what? The black people don't want to fuck with us. Fuck them. So what we're going to do
is
they're not going to know what's going on.
They're not going to know nothing. They're going to be blind to the fact of everything that's occurring.
It's just like country clubs. A country club, I'm a big golfer. White boys was making all deals on the golf course in them country clubs. That's where they were at. But are you going to go outside and go, well, fuck it, they won't let me in. I ain't going to be in it. But you ain't going to know what's happening.
Right.
So you got to get in. So it's the same. So when I look at Steve going in, I mean, I respect D.L. Hughley. That's my bull to 1,000 grand. You know what I mean? I don't feel he's on this aspect with Steve. I feel like with Steve, like, look, ain't nobody dogging Omarosa. But you want to know why? Because they know she was down with Trump from the get-go. So you don't hear people, you don't hear nobody blackballing her or talking about her. You can't get mad at that. And as long as we have that attitude, we're going to be cut out of business. We're going to be cutting out opportunities. And that's why when it comes down to people dealing with us or we dealing with ourselves, it's like, oh, you know what? I don't like it. If I don't like it, nobody should like it. And that's not how it's going to be.
And you know what? I see that, like, with all of that that's going on, I look at it like a divide and conquer type thing, right? In the sense where okay, like, you put somebody that's respectable, right? And then so you automatically going to have people that say, hey, I don't deal with this person. You shouldn't deal with them either. But they take somebody that's respectable, you know, like Steve, whether it was Jim Brown, whether it was Ray Lewis, whoever it was, right? And they put them, you know, they get all these different figures, and they put them in front of us, and they go, hey. So then now you hear, all of a sudden you hear in terms like, oh, you know, I used to mess with him. Now, you know, he on that coonery. You know, now they want to start labeling people. But see, that's the whole point. That's when I say it's that divide and conquer. Like, we got to be conscious of what's really going on and be aware of this, because not knowing what's really going on behind the scenes, not knowing what was really said or anything like that. And then, you know, it's just like being seen with somebody. It's just like being in the club, being taking a picture with somebody, but you know, that somebody could have just rolled up, took that picture, and like, yo, they hanging like that, they doing like that. But, and this is another problem with people that when they see that, though, is that, okay, so where the white celebrities that he coming out with, where, you know, he ain't coming out with Brad Pitt, you know, George Clooney or nobody, right? So they putting it, you know, the media is more or less putting this in our face and saying, hey, so they could create that uproar amongst our people.
Well, the thing is,
because now it's a conversation.
It's an unnecessary distraction.
The thing you got to remember is they're not worrying about. See, it's like I told somebody. You don't see the Koreans. You don't see all other nationalities up in arms about Trump being in there. You wonder why?
Right.
Because they're within their communities.
They're handling their business.
So the thing is, if we were not busy with our community, okay, you know what? Do what you want. But I'm still circulating this dollars with another brother or another person, or I'm giving this guy an opportunity to have a TV show or whatever. But we're not doing that. We're already slicing each other up, and then we're saying, don't you go meet with them. So I can't eat.
Right.
You don't want to eat. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Right.
You took the words out of my mouth, Danny, because. Yeah, I was going to say, they don't want, you know, whether it's Trump or somebody else, they don't want somebody to do something, so they attack them. But then, on the other hand, they're, you know, we're not recycling our own resources and helping each other to move forward either. You know what I mean? So it's
and
like
people forget the one biggest quote that we listen to sometimes in life, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. By them going down there to interfere, to listen and see what's going on, you got to think of the bigger picture. Sometimes you got that one person that's thinking outside the box while everybody else is in the uproar.
Let
me tell you something. If we don't pay attention, here's the deal. If we don't, we're going to have 4 years go by, and we're not going to be in any kind of situation. You know, we're not going to be involved with a lot of decision-making. People, I had a big discussion on this today about, well, why is son Steve, he is not someone that is educated in housing authority and all that type of stuff. But you got to remember, the times have changed. And the thing is this, you know, society doesn't want to deal with people now that is old school, or they want to deal with people that got a pulse on the
right.
public. Steve has a pulse on the public because of his shows. So he can maybe say he was the dude, the right dude, but I'm saying we got to have someone in there, whether it was Steve, Kevin Hart, or it doesn't have to be an entertainer. But see, people say but the minute they send an entertainer, then that's where the cooning comes in. Because now it's like they're in their dance. I'm telling you right now, sure as my name is Danny Green, we're making a big mistake as a people because we're not being smart about how we're handling the situation. And like I always tell people, the way that you handle stuff is you get in and you don't say shit. You just listen. You don't have to let everybody know what you're thinking, folks. Now, every nationality, and I got friends of different nationalities, from Armenian to Jewish to white, and they come up and they're like, and I know they're like, so you guys don't want to meet with them, or you guys hate them so much, and blah, blah. Well, okay, well, you know, it's like with Obama. When Obama was in the president, which I voted for him twice, let me tell you something. We as a people, then there's not one black person on your network right now with us or anyone listening that can't say, as a people, we were not trying to convince people that this was the best man for the job. We can never say that. When a white person would say something negative, we were always trying to find a way to say, hey, please give him a chance. Give him
we
a shot.
Our choice.
Right? Right? Let's see what he can do.
Right.
So what we got to do is be smart. Don't be so loud and negative and just say, okay, let's see what he does the first year. Okay, he is putting people in there that we don't agree with, but let's see what happens. And then if not, then we go for it. But what happened is now we've already expressed our feelings and our hatred and our, you know, and we're different. They can express hate towards us and ain't shit happening. When we express hate, okay, fuck it. Let's just keep it quiet so they don't know what's going on. And that's
right.
What's
and you know what? And also, Dan, and when we express hate, we lash out on each other. You know what I'm saying? And instead of, you know, I'm not saying, okay, lash out on Trump or whatever, but I'm just saying, you know, in general, we always lash out on each other. Regardless of the situation, we're always taking it out on the next black person. Why are you doing, you know, like they actually had some power over, you know, a much bigger picture. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And then looking at this, too, it's like it's so much of a distraction. You distract yourself so much, you're going to miss something.
Right.
And we don't look at it as African Americans. We create this big uproar in business, in politics, in anything. We just have to say something. We do a big uproar. We got to state our opinion. And sometimes it's best to sit still and just listen and pay attention because they want us sometimes to do that big uproar.
They call that talking loud, saying nothing.
Right. In entertainment, we're losing so many gigs because we're so damn sensitive. Now, black person, I can't do a chicken commercial because goddamn I'm cool. I can't. It's like, come on. I eat chicken. Why can't I do a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial? We complain about everything. We're sensitive about everything. We got to make everything. Let me tell you something. I said, you want to know why the mafia was so successful? Because you always remember, first of all, it's the Don. The Don isn't the biggest or the strongest dude. He's probably some old dude that put in work years ago, but at this time could probably be knocked off at any time. But it's respect and the fact that everybody knows if something goes down with me or my family, he's going to look out for us. And that's what we got doing. And then secondly, with the mafia, if something was going to happen with them, if you screwed them over, they're not going to be on the street marching. And crying, and they're gonna give you that look like, okay, and that's gonna be it. So we are too loud, we are too aggressive, and going back to what we were going to talk about, that's also how we do business, which is why it costs us. Mm-hmm. When I come into your shop, excuse me, ma'am, but this fork is dirty. It should be no problem. Let me get you another one. I apologize for that. I ain't washing the dishes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then as a people, when we go into a black business, hey, excuse me, sir, my fork is dirty. Okay, no problem. I apologize for that. Instead of, yo, man, why the fuck is my fork dirty?
Mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. Because they know doggone well they wouldn't do that to another type of establishment.
No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. All you and I, and all three of us, or four of us, to do tonight is talking about what we we've been trying to convey to our our communities and stuff for years. We got to be smart. That's what, why do you think? Why do you think now all of the inner cities are being flipped? That's what I'm trying to tell people. I'm like, the white man feel like I gave y'all the we gave y'all the inner cities. For 40, 50 years, y'all ain't do shit with it. We're going to come back and get it. And how are we going to do it? We're putting football stadiums down. We're putting teams down there. We make sure that rent goes up high where you can't afford it. We're not thinking as a people.
Oh, it's expensive downtown.
You can't get in. And that's why L.A.'s a prime example. People down in Inglewood, California, it ain't going to be known as the hood after a while. They putting that stadium down there. They fixing it up. I'm telling you, and we're not thinking comes to that.
Yeah, they're doing that everywhere.
Yeah, but until we do it, look, I'm a stand up. I'm an actor. I know I'm good. I know I can act. I've gone to brothers, people to try to get work. A lot of them won't. I got commercials running right now. White director, use me one time, uses me all the time. He doesn't have. He doesn't say to me. Man, out of sight, out of mind.
Oh.
He booked me one commercial because he's like, I remember, you know, Dan, I remember working with you before, and I needed somebody for this commercial, and they called me and put me in the commercial.
Right.
Our attitudes is out of sight, out of mind. You know, I couldn't wonder who. No, we don't remember nothing. We don't do. We don't know how to. Let me say now. We are, because I don't want to be, I don't want to knock us all like that. But a lot of us do not do good business. And that is what's going to ruin us, I'm telling you.
And do you think, each of you think that there is any way, any type of, you know, way that that can be overcome where a black business, how we can relate that? They need to do better business. Is there, you know, I'm at a loss for words. What I'm trying to say is, do you think they'll ever, you know, collectively be better at some point in time? And is there any way to make
you
that
know what?
Happen?
I think there's a lot of great black businesses out there, right? It's just one of those things where, you know, there's a lot of them out there, but they don't get the exposure as to ones that's not so great. You know, it's always bad news travels fast, right? As to, you know, like it's a bunch of upstanding people that's doing stuff in the world. There's these great businesses, but they're not getting the exposure as to the same way as, like, yo, you hear about, you know, they food over here or, you know, how they conduct business. There's a lot of great lawyers and doctors out here that's not getting the same, you know, they got good practices that's not getting the same respect as somebody to just say, hey, you know, I think they more, even though that black business owner, that black attorney got more experience, his track record, he got a better track record, he got a better success rate.
You know what it is? It's because we don't step out the box. See, white people don't like making stars or making a business successful. If you own the club, bro, and you said to everybody, yo, man, I got this new club, man, why don't you come through? 5 out of 10 people are going to say, oh, man, I'm going to come by. Let me know how it's been going, though. Now, we're not going to go in and start poking.
Exactly.
Let me know how it's going. And if it's cracking, then I'm going to come through. So right there, because now instead of you coming in and just patronizing it and starting to come in and do it, you're going to say, I'm going to wait to hear something. So now if you hear one complaint or, nah, it was all right, man, you ain't going to go patronize it.
Right. And that's what I was going to say, that you're saying what I was going to actually say. I think on the flip side, we're also very hard on each other, too. So, you know, you might hear about that business or whatever, and We're always so hard. So like somebody could say, oh, the food is not too, you know, I wasn't crazy about my plate of dish, you know, whatever I had. And then that next person will go back and say, yeah, I heard that restaurant was a shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Uh-huh. And they're just so hard. We're hard, so hard on each other, even though
you know
that person might be trying.
You know, Racine, you say something like that, and you know, Racine, you know me personally, so you know I do understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I produce music also and things like that. So, like, it's times where I, like, say, I done heard, you know, let somebody hear something, right? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're fine listening to it when they think it's somebody else, right?
But the minute
they realize it's you, now you can look at their face and you see they expression change.
If you could see me right now, I just stood up. Yes. I know exactly what you're saying.
It's like their whole expression
changed,
and now they become an expert in this field and tell
exactly.
You know, you should have put that here, and you should have did this like this, and like you telling me about something that you
Hell
ain't never
yeah.
done before, but all of a sudden you an expert.
That's
kind of
just
supporting.
Right.
I think is accountability, though. I think a lot of people don't realize like their flaws. So if somebody gives you a flaw in business, you know, it's like you don't want to correct it. I know what I'm doing. You can't tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
mm-hmm.
automatically the flaws.
You
got
to be able to take the criticism.
Yeah,
and
correct the criticism. There you go.
Right. But only,
and then
only
the second
that.
One I would say would be like always wanting the support from the immediate family or your friends that you're always around. Everything
mm-hmm.
that you get, the money that you're going to get in business, the support doesn't just come from who you know. It's not going to come from who you know. It's going to come from those people that don't really know you. They don't know your past.
Mm-hmm.
All they know is
mm-hmm.
the potential or the product or the service that you have and the fact that you got a good product or service. They don't care about where you came from.
You
mm-hmm.
know what? Speaking of that, right, think of any artist, like Michael Jackson, any rap artist, anybody that ever went platinum, right? They didn't go platinum
mm-hmm.
because brothers was buying their stuff in the hood. They went platinum
right.
because they was able to reach different people that love their music.
That's right.
Because,
right.
you know, because in the hood, y'all know how we get down. And I done been there and done that. So, you know, I'll be part of the blame, but then I go support at the same time. But, you know, people will burn your stuff, copy it, you know, bootleg it, whatever they do.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
they won't come support you in a sense where, like say when Boys in the Hood, I mean, not Boys in the Hood, but when NWA came out, the NWA movie, right, Straight Out of Compton, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just out of the fact that, you know, I wanted to support it in the right way, I made sure I went and bought tickets, went to the movie, and didn't, you know, just say, hey, man, you know, I got the bootleg, or I can get the bootleg, or knew somebody that had it, or anything
mm-hmm.
like that, right? I wanted to just show me myself, look, whether if anybody else was aware of it, just me personally feeling good that I know, look, man, I supported this because for me, watching a movie like that brought me back to, you know, growing up, and it was just a different feeling, like remembering those times in a sense. So I wanted to see that story, you know, but so I'm a supporter in a way because, you know, just because that's just me. But not everybody is willing to do that. But I know what that's like when people don't support. You ain't got to support my dream. You ain't got to like me. You ain't got to like when
yep.
I'm on. But respect it in a sense where, you know, just tell me the truth. Like, I'm originally from Cleveland, right? But I stay in Atlanta now. And when I first, like, went to the service and I went back home, you know, I used to call, you know, where I stayed, like, the player hated capital of the world because nobody wanted to see you succeed. You know, you can go to the service, you can go to college, and then, you know, they talking about you like, oh, what you think, you smarter than me, or so what, you went to the service.
Mm-hmm.
But let that brother that just got out of jail, they throwing him a party. You know,
yeah.
they got the club. They done rented out the club. They got VIPs and everything. But a brother could go to college and graduate, or somebody can go fight for you and come back home, and they don't get that same welcome.
You know, the thing, on top of a lot of it is what I meant by stepping out the box as well is we have to create business. We have to create opportunities. The people that can do it, they're not doing it a lot. I've used, for example, Kevin Hart. People talk about Kev all they want, whether he is or what isn't funny, whatever. Kev's my man. But Kev gave us all, is giving a gang of people opportunity off his name.
Uh-huh.
I did Real Hustle to Hollywood.
And I would have never gotten it if Kev never gave people opportunity just to have the show. Kev don't need the show. He don't need, he's big enough where he don't need to have real life. He can just do a movies, two or three movies a year and call it a day. It also comes down to that situation. He's creating opportunities. Now, he's creating opportunities with people that some people you know and some people you don't know. My problem is, and I'm always speaking from an entertainment side because I'm in it, is you, you take someone like Oprah. Now, Oprah's giving people work, but all the major, to me, of what I see, I don't know everything, but what I see, she'll give, she gave, you know, Tyler Perry the opportunity to produce the shows on her network. But he already had a name. So my thing is, why not give someone new a shot to produce something, to create something, to give a lot more people opportunities? You know what I mean? Because it's like a tree. If you're the root and you branch out, now you got a big tree. Each tree branch is going to grow another branch. So my thing is that we don't do enough sharing the wealth within our own community. LeBron James, prime example, put all his boys, said, look, okay, y'all going to be, you know, when LeBron came out and LeBron didn't hire white agents to produce, to create advertising, you know, endorsements and things like that for him. I watch ESPN. I listen to these shows that were saying he'll never make the money he should make because he doesn't have the right people in position. But what he did, he paid for his boys to go back and learn what they should do. They said, you're going to be with me. You want to be educated and know the game. That's all we got to do. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. And I'm back, you guys. I don't know if you knew. My it's thundering and lightning really bad right here, so everything kind of shut up for a second. But I'm back, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying we have to, we just got to, as a comedian, I try to make everything light. I talk about everything, make it funny.
Mm-hmm.
But the real thing I'm telling you right now is that we're shooting ourselves in the foot with this Trump thing, I believe.
That's what I think, yeah.
I think mm-hmm. and not because we're going hard on Steve, but you got to remember, if we keep complaining, what they're going to do is say, you know what? Hey, Steve, we would love to meet with you again, but we understand all of the adversity and the hate and stuff that came to you from your peeps. So, you know what, man? We'll go ahead and pass on it because we don't want to bring any more attention to you. We don't want people to think it's not real. Now, guess what? We just got this dude cut out. And now we got nobody in that position.
And he could be the eyes and the ears.
He could be, man. I truly believe, and I had a big discussion today with one of my boys. I just said, I believe that we're our own worst enemies in this situation. We know, I will tell people, you know, Trump has a history of him and his father of not renting to black people in New York and blah, blah. And my boy said, well, I don't look at Trump being a racist. He's a businessman. If I had a property and I thought you were going to bring out my value, whether it was right or wrong, I'm not going to rent to you. Is that right? No. But it's his right. Now, my thing is, how many of us, and if you can honestly say you have, I will go ahead and say, okay, cool. But we all watched The Apprentice for years. I didn't see a lot of people say that he was a racist or a prejudice or a bigot. They just said, you know, they thought it was funny every time he fired somebody. You know what I mean? So now we're coming back because he did bad politics like they all do, which was talk about Barack, talk about Hillary. They all do that to gain the vote.
Uh-huh.
We're going to make America great. And then it's an issue. I voted for Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we going to do? We got this guy in the White House. We got to find a way to either connect or we're going to be disconnected.
But you know, right. It's funny that you were saying how the think about it like this, right? When we talking about Trump. Now, before Trump ever talked about running for president, before him and Barack, even like, you know, when a couple years ago when him and Barack was, you know, beefing, when he was talking about he was, you know, wasn't from here and all of that, right? Or wasn't a citizen. But think about it, before any of that, let's just say years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, it was cool for every rapper to talk about Donald Trump, like, I want to be paid like Bill Gates and Donald Trump. And you know, you didn't care because you didn't know what he was on, right? Now you start seeing him and you go, oh my God, he's a racist. And now it's like, oh, you know, F him and all of this and that. But before then, see, all you knew is he had money. You wanted him to be like him and have money. Right?
Man,
I mean, think about, you know,
Yes.
Think about any old rap joint. Everybody wants to be like Trump and Bill Gates. Or Warren Buffett.
We all, look, I just think, man, when I'm listening to a lot of people go in on each other as celebrities, you know, they either, you know, this guy went on Steve, they went in on Jim, they went on this, whatever. But again, at the end of the day, if you ain't at the table eating, you don't know what they having to eat.
Right.
And if someone says to me, I'm going to tell you now, if Donald Trump, and I'm educated enough to be able to sit, if he said, Dan, I would like to speak with you, I'm going to go hear what he got to say.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm not going to sit back at home and go, nah, I ain't going to meet with Trump because people don't want me to. And
I'm
sitting here waiting for work, but none of the people that didn't want me to meet with Trump, ain't none of these niggas hiring me.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true.
And to me,
you know,
it's an opportunity. Everybody has their own opportunity and reason for that opportunity.
Exactly.
So
you can't
discuss, like, why did somebody do it? It was their own reason. They're not gonna, you'll never understand that person.
That's true. And, you know, what caught my attention is when Steve was talking and he said, look, he said, I don't need public housing. I got 6 or 7
houses. I got 4 houses.
Right, right.
I got 4 houses, 7 kids.
Right, right. You heard that interview where he was talking. So it's like he, you know, obviously he wasn't doing, you know, saying it for himself. Now other people have flipped it and said, oh, he's doing it for other reasons, this, that, and the other. Whatever, I don't know. But, you know, that did catch my attention that obviously Steve does not need public housing. Obviously he is already trying to help kids, you know, with a mentoring program and things like that. So, you know, you just have to look at all sides of things. But a lot of times people, you know, the common everyday person is not going to have a vision. All they know is what they know,
uh-huh.
and they don't want to know it. And they don't want to know anything else, you know. Oh, all I know is you went there, and I just don't want that, you know.
Oh, niggas love to not know.
Right.
Yeah, all day. But hey,
right.
But you know what? One thing, like say, and this is kind of funny because it's just because I happen to know somebody who go to this college. The college that they're doing an inauguration, the band, the black the HBCU, mm-hmm. right? Which happened to be
mm-hmm.
Talladega. A friend of mine's son go to that school. Some of the band members, I done met them, and they're the ones that are actually going to be there. We just happened to meet them a couple months ago. Now, the funny thing is when I hear people like Tom Joyner say, oh, we ain't going to support this college and no more because of this. But, you know, when you got these small schools, like you might be one entity that say, hey, I'm out here supporting these colleges or this and that. But there's probably a whole lot of other people that could support that don't. So for the fact that they're getting some type of publicity, they're getting some type of name, and from what I heard, you know, is that the kids that's actually in the band that's actually going are excited because it's something big for them. It's something,
mm-hmm.
you know, regardless of who the candidate is or who
right,
the new president
right.
is about to be, it's something
right.
history where I played at the inauguration.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
regardless,
so
see,
yeah, right.
you know what, if
they
it was Bush, if it was Bush
picture,
10
yeah.
years ago or whoever it was, you still played at the inauguration. You can't say,
mm-hmm.
okay, because now Barack gone, because before there was any black president, you wouldn't say that. You were just glad to go play at the inauguration no matter who it was.
Right, that's true.
I think
that's
the
true.
Problem is, I think what the problem is that a lot of people, because I spoke with one of my boys today, and people feel like, well, Barack was a great president, but people are complaining because they're saying, well, black people are saying, well, some people are saying, what did he do? And, of course, Barack had a lot of stuff that was blocked that he could not do. And we understand
mm-hmm.
that.
A lot.
Wasn't
in
his control.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
We understand that. But at the same time, that has nothing to do with what we need to do to move forward. And
right.
what I'm saying is we got, you know what, it's like, you know what, it's like being in the neighborhood and you got a dude that you can't stand. You know, he was a bully. You know what I mean? And then one day, you know, the dude comes up and he puts his hand out and says, man, I was a dickhead. You know, I apologize. Now, he came and extended his hand and then you go, man, F you. You know what I mean? Shit, you ain't never treated me right. But the thing is, it's like after a while, you got to give everybody a chance to see if they can show a different face. It's only opportunity. That's all you're doing. We look
mm-hmm.
for second chances in our country. We're known for that, per se. I'm not talking about erasing anything that Donald Trump has done or said that was negative. What I'm saying is we got to find a way to wrap and make it work for us. Because if we don't, and if we keep going in with the attitude like, you know what, we don't want no parts of it, the only people that are not going to be hurt by it are the people that can afford it. Steve is not going to be hurt. Steve is not going to be hurt whether he is a part of it or not. DL's
right.
not going to be hurt whether he's a part of it or not. Anybody, Oprah's not going to be hurt if he's a part of it or not. Denzel's not going to be hurt because they got it. But what about, what? See, you got to remember, if people say, damn, you know what, if it's like, for instance, if you're in a position of power
mm-hmm.
and people keep knocking you down that you want to do business with, what you do is you're going to make everybody pay that looks just like him.
Mm.
So what's going to happen is we're going to get the consequences of everybody up top having beef with each other because Steve went to go see him or this person went to go see him or Stephen A. Smith says we're wrong for being against Trump. All those people are not going to be affected. It's going to be people like us that deal with other people on the lower end. So other white people are going to be looking at you like, you're probably mad at Trump too, huh? Or you probably don't want to eat at the table too. We have to understand we got to be smarter on how we deal with our issues. That's what I'm saying.
Right. That's true. That's true. Now, I you know, it's already been over an hour, you guys, and I did have a few technical difficulties, but I want to thank you guys so much for joining me tonight. And seeing that I have you guys on the line right now already, I want to ask if you guys would, you know, commit to doing another show, the four of us, and you know, getting some more people involved and discussing it even a little bit further. Because I know tonight, like I said, I had technical difficulties. It is a little bit later, but I would love to continue the discussion if you guys are down for it.
Oh, yeah, I'm down for it.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Okay, okay. And before we go out, can you just, everybody, you know, I want everybody to know what projects and what you all are doing. DeLeon, what are you into?
Well, right now, like you said, you know, I got my show, Behind Closed Doors, The Man DeLeon. It's on Spreaker.com every Sunday night at 9. And that's something that I actually have, like what I do, I actually play. I always got a great, grown and sexy conversation. But the one thing I also do, I play old school hip hop and R&B, but I also have independent artists, whether they aren't, you know, really I've been having a lot of independent R&B artists, but I'm going to start, you know, scaling back and maybe play some hip hop artists. But
yeah,
I'll
you
also,
be jamming on there.
Thank you.
I was Thanksgiving night. I was cooking and listening to you. I was like, okay. I couldn't even cook because I was trying to dance so much. But anyway,
I appreciate that. I know you be tuned in too.
Yeah.
But the one thing I actually started this year too is actually what we're talking about is supporting independent businesses and entrepreneurs out there, like a small mm-hmm. business owner.
Yeah.
So the one thing I do is like, you know, people that I know personally that got a business or, you know, anybody that's, you know, listeners that's, you know, because I got people that listen nationwide and, you know, a couple different countries. But, you know, just if you got like an online business, local business, you know, that, you know, I'll promote your business. I'll do a separate commercial. I'll do,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you got a sports bar, if you got hair care products. So, you know,
right.
I got people here in Atlanta, Chicago, like, you know, just different places that, you know, promoting their business or, you know, even somebody that, you know, she do hair, but she got her car, she, you know, she doing her thing.
So
like,
you give them a shout out.
I want to give everybody a little love and then, you know, whether if they call into the show and do it, whether if I just, you know, talk about it on the show or I actually do them a commercial.
Right.
You know, so that's one thing I do. And then not only that, like you said, also, you know, a music producer. I do voiceover work. I'm actually working with this new artist named Joy, who's, you know, She incredible talent, so I'm looking for some new music from that.
Okay,
and
okay.
You know.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much, DeLeon, for joining us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Latrice Gaddison, hey.
Hey.
So, tell us what you have going on, Latrice.
Look, what don't I do? With me, I have the marketing, the business consultant, and taxes. But the biggest project is The Girl Let It Go, which you will be speaking in. Yay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is backed by a magazine. They will be doing the majority of the marketing for us. It's pretty much helping women to heal into their destiny, trying to get rid of a lot of these broken women that we have in the world.
so that they can do business better. So that's like my ultimate goal with that particular project.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you so much, Latrice. And last but definitely not least, the man of the hour, Dannon Green. Tell us what you have going on, Dannon.
No, well, everything is good. I have a presentation project that I did that we're looking at pushing it. It was starring Michael Collier. I don't know if I told you about that.
Okay.
I also have a national commercial running right now. I don't know if you guys seen it. La Quinta.
I saw it online.
I mean, the new La Quinta commercial is called How We Do Business with the guy with the glasses in his hands. That's me, and I'm the only black dude in it, but the black person that I'm in that. And then I shot a commercial last week for I can't say what the product is because it's not out yet, but it's going to be a Southeast regional commercial. So it's going to be for like Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, and then it could go further, but it's going to be showed out there a lot. So I just shot that last week, and working on my new script and. Really, right now, working on trying to, I hope this year I can get out and have a good pilot season, hopefully book me a TV show or at least book another major film project. But as of right now, I've got the commercials running and I've got some other things happening. So, yeah, things are good.
Cool. That sounds great. Yay. And I always see you out there playing golf. I'm going to learn how to play golf and come out to L.A. and play some golf.
I play.
But look, I got to learn first.
Yeah, you gotta learn. I play today, and I try to play golf maybe once or twice a week, so it's good for me. And just just grinding. You know, right now I'm in a crazy position because I'm right there. I'm close. And it's just about more opportunities for me. So that's all I can do. Keep pushing forward.
Right.
Hey, Ray
Fing, really
putt putt ain't golf, Ray Fing.
What's that?
I said putt putt ain't golf.
You got it. Well, look, I want to thank Maxine Jones for giving me this platform to share my information with people. I hope that you guys, we'll get together and see another day, maybe next week if you guys are available. We can continue the discussion and get more people involved because I think it's important to try to, just draw some attention to it, some awareness. And, as far as black businesses having professionalism, black businesses supporting each other, not cutting each other down when somebody's trying to make some type of progress, regardless of, who's in the leadership position, we still have to keep our eyes and our ears open to what's going on. You can't just, sit in the house like a hermit and just pretend that Trump is not in there. So, that shows a lot, too. I want to tell what I have going on. I'm going to be one of the hosts for Latrice's show, Girl Let It Go. That's March 25th. I'm so excited about that. I can't wait for that. I'm also going to be a co-host with Kelvin Harris. He's having the first Atlanta Actors Award show. That's March 19th. So I'm psyched about that as well. And what else? Check my book out, my Don't Be Salty show. And I also want to give a shout out to Baskin Law Group, Michael Baskin. He's always so supportive of everything. He's one of the sponsors as well. So I want to shout out to all those people, but I mainly want to shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. We couldn't have the show without you guys. We'll get together and we'll do it again real soon. Okay?
All right.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Joining me. Thank you so much, you guys. Have a good night. Safe travels, traveling home.
Thank
bye,
you.
Guys.
Good night.
All right. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.